Here comes episode number 229.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And no matter what type of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this is for you because on this podcast, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RVing lifestyle. So please know how welcome you are here and how honored we are that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, we have been traveling North America now for the past month, maybe a little longer. Among other things, we have been checking out small motorhomes, visiting various RV manufacturing facilities. And this week, we want to share the visit we just made to Manitoba, Canada, and the factory where Leisure Travel Vans makes its excellent line of Class B+ motorhomes. Now, what's a B+? Well, stay tuned. You'll hear all about that. In our interview of the week, you are going to meet the two brothers who run this family-run operation, Brian and Mike Elias, and they're going to tell you about their quest to make beautiful, reliable, and functional motorhomes that are also foolproof. Plus, we're going to discuss our just-announced partnership with Leisure Travel Vans. We're going to offer up the RV news of the week, share some tips and some suggestions, and hear a great off-the-beaten-path Valentine's Day report from our friends the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear, and happy birthday, and happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you. And this episode is being recorded February 12th, my birthday,
Woo-hoo!
For release on February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. And it looks like we'll be spending this Valentine's Day on the road.
How's that for a gift, huh?
We've been other Valentine's Days on the road. I remember a video you made.
Yeah.
Of us fixing a meal on the road.
Yeah.
Headed off to Florida. And I have to make a meal on Valentine's Day. You usually can't get in any restaurant unless you make reservations.
Oh, I don't know where we're going to be. Well, we'll work on it.
We'll work on it. We'll figure that out.
I got it.
I know. I'm going to bring some stuff to work that up.
Yeah.
Headed off to Florida in a brand new Leisure Travel Vans Wonder RTV. Now, RTV stands for Rear Twin Bed Model. And I suppose now is a great time for us to officially announce that we have become the brand ambassadors for Leisure Travel Van. And as part of that sponsorship, they provide us the use of one of their beautiful motorhomes.
Yep. And we are very excited about this. The unit we drove home from the factory up there in Winkler, Manitoba last week is on the Ford Transit chassis. And that is the chassis more and more RV manufacturers are adding to their model lineups. It is the HD350 Transit, a diesel unit. And let's see, driving it about 1,200 miles to our Michigan home in sub-zero temperatures. And, I mean, a raging North Dakota blizzard, no less. I find it so far to be very stable, very easy to drive. And after we finish recording this podcast, we will finish packing it up and then skedaddle down south in search of spring to Florida. And eventually we're going to make our way over the next month or so to Salt Lake City, Utah. We'll be there in mid-March where we will attend a big RV industry trade show out there. And then we will swap out the Wonder for a new Unity model from Leisure Travel Vans, which is built on, I can't wait to get our hands on this one, on the 2019 Sprinter chassis. So we will be using the Wonder for about a month or so, and we'll be doing a full review of how it works with as a motorhome. And we're also going to try and do a little impromptu meet and greet, maybe a week from Sunday. I have to pull up a calendar, but we're kind of looking to do a meet and greet out. We'll be down in Florida on the Emerald Coast. And I'm thinking maybe Sunday the 24th, we'll find a place down there somewhere to do a meet and greet. We'll tell you about that in the next couple of weeks. But that'll be just a couple of hours, maybe an afternoon on the beach. We'll all bring some chairs and hang out, and we'll be happy to. It's always fun to meet all the snowbirds that are down there.
And not only are we testing out the Ford Transit as a motorhome chassis, we are also trying out a B-plus van, something we've been curious about for years. Mike and I have been big fans of leisure travel vans for years now. And as we started looking around for our next RV and the model that would best fit our needs, we found their coaches checked every box. We had some very specific things we were looking for: more storage room for our photo and video gear and our camping accessories, comfortable, permanent beds with a mattress so we didn't have to sleep on a pad atop a bunch of sofa cushions, a designated workspace for Mike to edit videos, work on the blog, and our ebooks. And we also wanted a stand-up dry shower, a bigger bathroom, and as we were looking for a new sponsor, a certain type of company we could confidently attach ourselves to.
And that was, by the way, a very big item on our list. We wanted a family-owned company, if possible, with a solid reputation for quality and integrity and customer care. And leisure travel vans is all of that and more. In fact, you'll be able to understand why we're so delighted to be their ambassadors and drive their products in just a few minutes when you meet Ryan and Mike Elias in our interview of the week. And for those of you listening to this on the day the podcast comes out, tomorrow, Thursday, February 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern, we are going to hold a special premiere showing of our tour, our visit to the Leisure Travel Vans Factory in our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel video of the week. Now, if you're listening to this podcast after February 14th, 2019, you can find it available to watch on demand in our RV Lifestyle channel at youtube.com/RV Lifestyle. But a YouTube premiere is a big deal. It's a lot of fun. And what happens is we all watch it at the same time, the first time it shows together, and it rolls right at 7 p.m. And then there's like a chat room on YouTube on the right, and we can interact in the chat room as it plays. If we can, we may even do a quick live stream right afterwards. Though, as Jen said, we're going to be on the road somewhere between Michigan and Florida on Thursday. And Lord willing, anyway, you never know what weather and stuff will do. And there's no guarantee when you're on the road that you can have a strong enough internet connection to do a live stream afterwards. But we're going to try. For sure, though, the video premiere will work, and that's scheduled for 7 p.m. You can go to youtube.com/RV Lifestyle. You can see it listed there as it's scheduled, and you can even click and get yourself a reminder to make sure you tune in at 7 o'clock. We'll be hanging out in the chat room from about a quarter to 7 on, and it's fun. So our premiere, you can see this tour. It will be a lot of fun. That's even with the famous leisure travel vans, Dean Corrigal, who will do the tour, is our tour guide for that video. And make some popcorn because it lasts about 40 minutes. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It sure has been a busy month for us. We're anxious to hit the road and start doing more RV lifestyle stories as we tour Florida, the Gulf States, and make our way to Utah. For me, the real RV travel season starts when we can de-winterize the RV, and we're hoping to do that someplace in Alabama and northern Florida. I love wintertime and snow, but I also like sunshine and warm weather, and it's now time for us to go get warm.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV News of the Week.
All right, we got some good news out of Congress, where you don't get a lot of good news these days. But the National Scenic Byways Program, which began in 1991 under the Department of Transportation, could receive new life under a bill passed this week in the U.S. House of Representatives. There are 150 roads that are designated National Scenic Byways. Probably the most famous of those is Route 66, because of all these roads are chosen because of their unique qualities. And of course, these roads are often very popular with RVers. But the National Scenic Byways Program has been, I don't know if anybody knows, it's been without any funding at all since 2012. And the bill that is now in the Senate could finally change that. We'll put a link in the show notes with more information about that. And then reading that story got me thinking to the trip that Jennifer and I made along historic Route 66, a National Scenic Byway. We shared that adventure on one of our earliest podcasts, and we dug that out of the archives, and we'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. And of course, when we talk about the show notes, we mean what the notes that appear with the podcast on our blog. Many of you listen to the podcast on your favorite podcast app on your smartphone or your tablet, but you can also listen to it through the RVLifestyle.com blog. And if you go to RVLifestyle.com/229, the episode number here, RVLifestyle.com/229, you see the show notes, which is kind of like a transcript of this entire podcast, word-for-word transcript. Or a detailed outline, let's just say that. Sometimes we don't transcribe everything, but most of it's there. And you can see that link to our Route 66 story.
Yellowstone National Park announced last week that it recorded its third highest number of visitors, with more than 4 million visiting the iconic park in 2018. But what really caught my attention in Yellowstone's news last week was an incredible video taken by a winter tourist. The tourists were in the park with a guide when out of nowhere, a buffalo appeared, running full speed, passing within a foot of their vehicle. We'll put a link in the show notes for this episode on the RV Lifestyle blog at rvlifestyle.com/229.
Many of you may remember last year when we reported on a program that was pretty controversial at the time, to capture wolves and then to release them at Isle Royale National Park in the middle of Lake Superior off Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Well, researchers wanted to relocate wolves to that remote national park to keep the ever-growing moose population on the island in check. The wolf relocation program got off to a pretty rocky start. One of the wolves died in captivity before she could be released, and then another wolf died shortly after he was released. Well, last week, a story was out showing that yet another wolf brought over to the island was gone. But this one, he took advantage of that polar vortex that hit much of the country. And as Lake Superior froze over, he crossed over on an ice bridge off the island and was back on the mainland in Minnesota. We'll put a link to that story for you on the show notes.
One story I saw out of Pennsylvania's Poconos Island, One story I saw out of Pennsylvania's Poconos Mountains last week really highlighted the old saying that a dog is man's best friend. Apparently, a 60-year-old man was walking with his dog in the Delaware Water Gap National Recreation Area when a rabid raccoon came out of nowhere and started attacking him. The startled man slipped in some mud, the rabid animal biting and attacking, when his dog came to his rescue, grabbing the raccoon and likely broke its neck. The man was taken to a hospital for rabies treatment, and the dog was seen by a veterinarian and was okay, and a park ranger killed the raccoon.
All right, this part of the podcast is brought to you by our friends at Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful and premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. The Rad Power Bike phenomenon is growing like crazy. In fact, we notice it everywhere we travel across North America. More and more RVers are bringing along e-bikes. And Rad Power Bikes seems to be the e-bike of choice. For one reason, it's about half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because they cut out that you know, that third-party retail chain. They deal directly with the consumers. But also for the quality of their bikes. They make a series of different bike models, and they fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. You can get a fat tire bike. You can get a cargo bike. The one that Jennifer has is a step-through model, and it is it's like the, we used to call them girls' bikes, but now they're for everybody. You just don't have to throw your leg up over a center bar. You just step right through. The one I have is called the City model, the City version of the Rad Power bikes, and it's kind of like a beach cruiser type. You sit upright on it. It's really comfortable. All of the Rad Power bikes give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle, using five different levels of pedal assist for an added boost, or you can combine your own pedal power with the turbo power that comes from the electric motor. That motor, by the way, is the most powerful motor that you can have and still keep the bike street legal, meaning you don't need a special license to ride it. You can ride it anywhere you can ride a bicycle. Riders can travel between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and you will just find these things really great. They go to as fast as 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling, and they're really nice to have. A lot of fun. Anyway, they're priced, as I said, almost half the cost of comparable bikes on the market. If you mention the RV Lifestyle at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off. Plus, of course, as we said, you get free shipping. How do you find out about them? Go to radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Jennifer and Mike. My name is Ron Karen. I'm calling from Michigan. My wife, Pam, and I are both going on Medicare, me in a couple weeks, she in a couple months, and we are looking into supplemental Medicare gap coverage type plans, a PPO versus Advantage plan. She has an option through the state of Michigan. I have one through my former employer. Bottom line is, in my research, Advantage plans, at least the ones I have access to, appear to be locally based only, either within your county or your region. If you're traveling, which we want to do, or in the market for a Class B small RV, we understand we will not be able to use that if we're out of state or in Canada or Mexico. PPO, we understand, it does even have foreign coverage. So not sure if you've ever done a segment on your podcast. I'm trying to catch up on those, or on your great email blast that you do, or on your blog. So if you, Jennifer mentions, or you have mentioned that you go to a specific health club that is part of your Medicare plan. But if you have any insight over which plan to choose, you know, the coverage, the risks of an Advantage plan versus the PPO, you know, weighing the value of the two, that'd be great if in one of your different media sets, if you might be able to cover that soon. So anyway, thanks for all you do. You got a great, great concept, and like the way you're diversifying now as well. Thank you. Take care.
Well, thank you, Ron. Appreciate that.
When I'm listening to this, Mike, I think we need to do an interview with somebody who sells insurance and can explain all this to us.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Boy, you're right, because you really there's people are still trying to sell you stuff, Ron. And I know, because I happen to live in Michigan, I know the Advantage plan that you are talking about, and that is one that is, I think, only good in the state of Michigan. We have an Advantage plan with our, and it is with AARP, and that is good nationwide. We've used that many times, and that really helps out.
Yeah, I think you really need to have somebody do a segment on that, because I know we had a plan that we thought it was good everywhere, and then the next person came along and said, no, you're only covered in Michigan, and we're like, oh dear.
Yeah, and that was our first year. I think that was even before, well, I guess it was. We were our,
we've had three different plans.
Yeah, and you can change them, you know, I think every December, or if you're just starting off now, you can change it. But you need to talk to kind of an unbiased salesperson, and I just want to caution, just like anything else, there are a bunch of salespeople who just will push one plan because they get a big commission from those. And you want to, you know, make a little checklist of what you want. Now, I know the AARP gap coverage. I think that's what we're talking about. That works. We've used that as we've traveled the country. You were hospitalized once out in
Montana.
Once you got pneumonia, and we've used it for I broke my elbow last year. She broke her hand in Arizona, and it just was no problem at all. But that was the AARP thing.
And what I don't like about AARP, they used to have silver sneakers, and they don't have that anymore. And I miss that terribly.
Yeah, and that is the...
I can only get silver sneakers if I go with one of the plans that
that's
give
what you're
you
talking
silver
about
sneakers.
When you talk about the health club, Ron. Silver Sneakers is an organization of itself, but it was... It gets you free. If you're a member of that, you can get free admission to many health clubs around the country. And one of the plans that we had,
two of them
had silver sneakers coverage, mm-hmm. and they sort of have dropped that over the years. They dropped it, but you want to, if you go to Silver Sneakers, you can look it up on Google. You can see which health insurance plans they work with, and see if you can pick up one with that. But that's really nice because you could go in just about any health club that you want, and as a Silver Sneakers member. Now, you actually mentioned a health club. This has nothing to do with AARP or Medicare or insurance, but we do have belonged to Anytime Fitness, which is a national chain, and we like that for a couple of reasons. One,
there are 4,200.
And two,
you can shower there.
Yeah,
and I can. Number one for me is I can work out.
And there's enough of them pretty much in every town that we go through, and
small towns, big towns,
and then you have that unlimited hot water private shower, which is pretty good. So you need an expert to talk to, and Jennifer, that's a great idea. We got to find an unbiased person, not pushing a sales thing, and maybe we can talk about the best insurance coverage for RVers. And there may be somebody out there in our audience that is truly an expert on this. And if so, give us a contact, and we would love to talk to you. So good luck to you, Ron, and we hope to see you out there on the roads. Now, last week, you came up with an idea, Jennifer, my dear, to have people share. A few weeks ago, we had everybody share their newbie mistakes, the embarrassing mistakes they've made with their RV, and that was very fun to listen to those reports last week. Well, last week, as you were talking, and we were talking about how we were looking for a different RV, and every RV, you know, we all have different needs. Everybody, you know, one size does not fit all. And, you know, some people are just crazy about their RVs, and they bash anybody who has a different one. Not very many people are like that, but some. And but all of us have these little things that we really like about the RV we drove and are using. And so you came up with a good idea.
Yeah, to phone in what you really like about your IV or your IV RV.
Yeah. So what are the favorite things you like, or why did you pick it? And not a commercial for it, just, you know, one or two things. And so we had a couple of calls that we want to share this week, and we want to invite everybody to keep doing that because that's kind of fun to listen to it. And this is the time of year that many, many people are shopping around for an RV, and this might help a little bit. So we have two questions, and the way to do this, by the way, is we have a voice message line, and you can get that. Just scroll over to the RVLifestyle.com blog and look on the right side. We list the phone number there, and you can call in and leave that. But we have a couple of you who have called in, and let's start off with Karen, the favorite thing about her RV. Hi, Karen.
Hi. My name is Karen White in Frigid, Wisconsin, and I have a vintage Fleetwood 1954, 15 feet long. And the favorite thing about my vintage camper is that it's simple, not much maintenance. I don't have to worry about plumbing and the cozy woodwork. Thank you. Have a great day and keep warm.
You know, simple is...
Enjoy your podcast.
Thank you so much, Karen. Simple is good. And sometimes these things get pretty intricate.
And almost, the cozy wood, I'm sure it's very comfy inside.
Yeah. But what did she say? 54? That is vintage. You must have done some work on restoring it. And I wish you, if we were a video, I'd have you send me a picture so I could show it. But, well, thank you, Karen, for sharing that. And then we've got Janie, who called in to tell us what she likes about her RV. Hi, Janie.
Hello, this is Janet from Michigan. I was calling about why I love my Pleasureway van. I have a 2003 Pleasureway that I call my gypsy van because of the great freedom that owning a Class B van brings. I've owned her since 2015. I've camped all my life, but the work of setting up the RV and taking care of things was always done by somebody else, but now I'm traveling solo. I recommend Pleasureway because of the fantastic support from the family-owned company. Shortly after I bought my van, I joined the Pleasureway owners group and attended one of their rallies. The factory reps went door to door to answer questions we had about our vans and provide support. They even provided the factory number and encouraged us to call there with questions if we had them. The quality of the product has stood up very well as my van is now over 15 years old and I spend 40 to 50 nights per year on the road in my fantastic Pleasureway Gypsy van. Thank you very much.
Oh, Pleasureways are beautiful. And that's another family-run corporation company. Just known for quality and integrity, great people. We had a chance to spend a lot of time at one of the RV shows with the CEO, Dean Rumpel, which he's just a quality guy. And they make some really beautiful vans.
We have friends who own Pleasureways, yep. And they say nothing but nice things.
Yep, they do. Well, thank you, Janet, for calling in with that. And again, we want to remind you guys, you can call in too. And we would love to catch some of your calls. Our phone number is 586-372-6990. Again, that's 586-372-6990.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
All right, time now for our RV interview of the week. And this week, we introduce you to Ryan and Mike Elias, who lead Leisure Travel Vans in Winkler, Manitoba, Canada. Ryan, who's the general manager, and Mike, the marketing director, are grandsons of one of the company's founders.
Leisure Travel Vans have long had a reputation for unparalleled quality, and they build what are known as a Class B plus RV. That's really a made-up term. Technically, they are Class Cs, but instead of the traditional overhanging cab seen on a Class C, B-plus vans are more streamlined and don't look nearly as boxy.
They are very roomy on the inside. They are about 10 inches wider than a Class B camper van, but they are about the same length, 24 feet 9 inches in height, about 10 feet tall as the Class B Sprinter XL model that we had been using. So it's just a little wider, about 5 inches on each side. Well, we don't know how else to compare them except to tell you that they are just a very beautiful van.
Listen in now as we talk with Ryan and Mike about their company and their quest to build the foolproof van.
Well, first, Ryan and Mike, thank you guys for inviting us here. We really enjoyed the tour of Leisure Travel Vans. The weather could have been a little cooler.
Well, we warmed it up from last week for you a little bit.
Really? when I say it could have been cooler, I meant that facetiously, but yeah. I guess it was cooler.
Oh, no. Last week, I think she dropped down to about minus 45 Celsius.
Yeah,
she was cold.
And by its time it's 45 Celsius, that's about the same as it is in Fahrenheit.
I don't think it matters, right?
No,
it doesn't. It's not cold, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we're happy to have you here.
Well,
welcome here.
We have been big fans of Leisure Travel Vans ever since we started this, and we've run into you guys and Dean at the shows. I know many of our listeners have done the same. So it's kind of fun to learn a little bit about these units you make, which have such a great reputation for quality and innovation. Give us a little quick history of Leisure Travel Van. This is a family-owned business, right?
So I guess dates back to 1965, founded by our great-grandfather and his two son-in-laws. So the founder, great-grandfather was P.W. Enns. And his two son-in-laws was Phil Enns, one with one N and one with two N's. It's kind of confusing. And Peter Elias was the other, who was our grandfather.
Now tell us about, we're in Winkler, Manitoba, which is about 10, 15 miles over the North Dakota border.
Yep, that's right.
And tell us a little bit about Winkler.
So Winkler's, you know, it's been our home from day one. It's our community. We love it a lot. And you know, what's very unique about Winkler is you know, there's so many things unique about Winkler, but one of the things we hear a lot, including yourself, you mentioned this at lunch, is just the people. You know, said there's something about the people in your factory. And I think I said, you know, our people are our secret sauce, and that's truly what we believe. And at, you know, I could tell you lots of stories about Winkler, but at the long and the short of it is you know, we've been very fortunate to be in a community that has such good quality people in terms of their skill set, in certain terms of work ethic. You know, there's so many ideas coming from the shop floor today, and you know, so Winkler has a long history. You know, it there's a lot of Mennonite heritage here, and the company has a lot of that as well. But you know, it's grown and it's evolved and it's expanded, and today it's a thriving community. There's lots of entrepreneurship, not just within Triple E, but within the whole community. Lots of agricultural companies, agriculture equipment companies. And so lots of energy, entrepreneurship, and yeah, it's a thriving community for sure.
And it was founded by Mennonites, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And obviously the town itself is about 10,000. Is that the population?
I think a little more now, right?
10, 11,
yeah, maybe 12. Yeah,
really?
Something like that.
You guys are Triple E and Leisure Travel Van. What? Explain that. How do we understand that? Triple E was the original
yep.
name that the company was founded under, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the three E's is what I talked about before, and so Triple E was an RV manufacturer, and from 1965 till 2008 when we purchased Leisure Travel Vans, that was our brand name. Now Triple E was mostly, we sold most of our products within Canada, so we had a very strong brand presence in Canada, but not as much in the U.S. In terms of products, Triple E made everything from big Class A's to fifth wheelers to travel trailers, and it was a company known for its quality. That was, I would say, the pillar: quality and customer care and customer support. And then there was another manufacturer just 6 miles down the road in Morden, Manitoba, named Leisure Travel Vans, which was a completely separate company, founded in the 70s. And they focused on building these small vans, right? A very, very innovative company that had come up with a lot of firsts in the industry. And we Triple E acquired Leisure in 2008. And so the plan was to continue on with both brands, the Triple E brand, which was, you know, known for all these products, and Leisure. However, we know what happened in 2008.
2008 was the Great Recession. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so we had a lot of restructuring to do, and this you know, these Class B's and B pluses was kind of a little bit of a shining star in the RV industry. So we started focusing more and more of our efforts on this product line. Came up with the Unity. I guess a cool story about the Unity is that it was the first product that was a combination of the two companies, and that's actually why we called it the Unity between Triple E and Leisure. So we had the knowledge and the expertise of these two companies coming together, and the beauty of that was we got the innovation and the creativity from Leisure mixed with a lot of the quality and you know, systems and structure that Triple E had, and you know, it was a runaway success, and so that's kind of how the two came together. Fast forward 10 years, 11 years now, 2019, you know, the Leisure products had so much demand, we eventually phased out all of Triple E's products, and today everything is branded under Leisure Travel Vans.
And everything that you guys make now are Class B pluses, which are really Class C's, as we've learned, but a little more streamlined version of
right.
them. The idea of community, I want to go back to that for a moment. Back in your early history, as I read on the website, in I think 1972, you guys were almost wiped out with a fire.
Mm-hmm.
But then something really unusual happened. Would you explain that, Ryan? How
yeah,
did that
so
happen?
That devastating fire in 1972. One of the managers was actually killed in the fire, and it was devastating, and it wiped out the whole factory. And there, you know, was a lot of discussion after that to what the company should do to deal with this, right? And the employee group actually approached the ownership at the time and says, you know, we'd be willing to help build the factory after this devastating event for free, just so we could get back up and running. And so, you know, at the time it was just an unbelievable act of kindness and of the employees to get this company back up and running.
They actually donated their labor, work to build this place. Mm-hmm.
That was the offer. Mm-hmm. It didn't actually, I don't believe that was actually needed. There was some insurance money to cover the rebuilding process. But it was more the gesture that meant so much to the ownership, right? Mm-hmm. Because they were considering their options, whether to maybe just close up shop. You know, it was 7 years in from 65 to 72, 7 years into the business, and starting a new business is not easy, right? And so there was talks about that, and that gesture really, I think, helped the ownership to obviously rebuild, and you know, it's a great thing that they did.
One of the things that has impressed Jennifer and me so much is that this is a family-run business. And I go back to something that we were told some time ago by Bob Tiffin from Tiffin Motorhomes, well-known, beautiful, luxury motor coaches. Now I think they make a Class C as well, mm-hmm. but mostly known for their Class A's. But I was asking him about advice, and he talked about how in the RV industry it was so important that consumers try and buy from a family-run business. And I wanted to ask you guys that. Obviously, this is a family-run business. Can consumers rest a little easier with a family-run business than perhaps one of those big corporate manufacturers that have a million different divisions and a million different products? But what makes a family-run business like Leisure Travel Vans so unique?
I think that it's hard to blanket statement that. I certainly agree with Bob's statement there, obviously. But I think I can say for our company that our employees truly care. They care about the quality of the product. They care about how the customer is treated, you know, before and after the sale, and how that relates to a family-run business. I think that there's just more of a connection to the company, per se.
This is your name out
right.
there. This is your family's name, really, out there, and your history. So that this business actually means more to you, does it not, than if you were just a corporate office holder mm-hmm. and COO
yeah,
or CEO
yeah.
or marketing director. You're more than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is your name.
Yeah. And we are truly a family, right? It's not just that, you know, obviously the family in terms of the ownership, but the family as a business, you know, as a business entity, right? We the one thing too that sets us apart too is we sometimes you know, if you look at a public company, the shareholder return and the almighty dollar is extremely important. It's number one, right? For us, that obviously you need to make a profit, right? But our customers and our people and our community is number one for us. It's the most important.
Tell us about your vans. What excites you about your beautiful B-plus vans, the Unity, the Serenity, and the Wonder?
Yeah, we think we have the strongest product lineup we've ever had, you know, today. And a few reasons for that. One of the reasons being is we've never been so focused on, you know, one particular type. All we build is B pluses, right? And so we have the benefit of being laser focused on this type of product. And then we have a nice diversity. We have a growing amount of floor plans. So, you know, you can choose from, you know, today we have, I believe, 9 different models. So there's a lot of options and variety there. We build on 2 different chassis, the Ford and the Sprinter. They're both excellent chassis for what we build on. You know, lots of exciting stuff coming ahead with the chassis manufacturers as well. And then going a little deeper, I think our products and our floor plans are by and large unique in the industry. We try and do something different that you can't find elsewhere. And so we get ideas, a lot of ideas from the European markets. We get ideas from our customers, and we blend all these and try and come up with stuff that floor plans and models that we believe our customers will like. So I think you're going to find something different in our product line than you will in many of our competitors.
There's some of the things that we see your competitors do is adding lots of lithium batteries, which are certainly interesting batteries. You guys haven't quite embraced them yet, and as we were talking and learning, there's still some things in lithium that need to be worked out. And I wonder if you could talk about that, because the way lithium is often marketed to would-be RV buyers is that this is the latest, it's the most necessary, it's the best, and it's all foolproof now. And I'm certainly not asking you to badmouth competitors, but maybe to help us all understand how ready for prime time is lithium in terms of a battery system for an RV.
Well, I think you said it good there, foolproof. Is we're sometimes not the first or even second or third to come to the market when it comes to
technology
and systems, because we want it to be foolproof, and we're waiting for it, you know, for the technology to be available that will be foolproof, right? We can only control what we build, or the box we build, right? And generally, when it comes to warranty and service issues, the majority of the problems that we have are the components. Right, the external companies that we deal with that we have very little control over, right? So we try to reduce that exposure as much as possible with foolproof companies and products that are available on the market, right? So when it comes to lithium technology, obviously it's still at its infancy in the RV market, right? And we're waiting for that technology to be proven to know that our customers are going to be trouble-free. Right, our goal is to build a trouble-free RV every single day, and that's that's kind of our response.
So, who's buying Leisure Travel Vans, and how long is it going to take somebody to get a new one?
People like you and Jennifer and Bo.
Yeah.
No, I'm very serious about that, including the dog. You know, I think we did a survey not that long ago, and it was something like 75% of our owners have pets.
Yeah, we've done the same survey with her, and I think so that's about the same thing.
It's not surprising, right?
Yeah.
And we're selling to retired couples.
And semi-retired.
Semi-retired. And even working, you know, we're slowly seeing a shift younger, which is awesome.
So typically it's 65 plus is our demographic, but there's certain months on our survey returns that we get from our owners that have purchased Leisure Travel Vans that we do see, you know, 55 to 65 being the top category.
Right.
So, you know, slowly the trend is actually getting younger.
Starting to get younger.
Yeah.
And we have found that this is the most affluent, most active group of quote retirees, although they're awful busy, that we've ever seen, and so this is just the perfect lifestyle for them.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
And we find our customers are people that want to travel, no different than yourselves. They want to see the America. They want to see it, all the national parks, all the provincial parks, and our type of product is perfect for doing that. It's not, you know, set up to go sit in the campground for 3 months, although you can do that if you want. It's great for traveling. You know, mm-hmm. It's a true traveling product, and it's easy to drive, easy to park, easy to drive in cities. So it's just a very versatile unit, and we're finding a lot of our customers, you know, they're using it to its fullest potential, which is really cool to see from the manufacturer's standpoint.
Well, we look forward to seeing a lot more of Leisure Travel Vans and our travels, and thank you guys again for making us feel so welcome here in Winkler, Manitoba at Leisure Travel Vans. Thank you.
Well, thanks for making the big, long, cold trip up.
All right. Well, now you get a chance to meet Ryan and Mike Elias from Leisure Travel Vans, our interview of the week. And on the show notes, there'll be a transcript of that interview if you want to refresh your mind as you get the chance to take a look at that. Take a listen to the interview. You may want to actually read it as well. The interview of the week brought to you by our friends at Sunshine State RVs, where every new motorhome or used motorhome that they sell is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the continental U.S. Sunshine State RVs, they are known for having, I am convinced, the largest selection of used Class B and B plus and C motorhomes in the United States or in Canada. If you are looking for a small motorhome, you need to make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida. That's where Sunshine State RVs are located. But you can check their inventory right online by just going to sunshinestatervs.com. Their RVs range from the early 90s to the current year and everything in between. They carry the most popular brands like Leisure Travel Vans, used Road Treks, Pleasure Ways, Winnebagos, and more. They also have a line of a number of brand new Class B motorhomes as well. You will not find a wider selection anywhere else. Every RV they sell goes through this very thorough 172-point inspection in which they make sure that all the mechanical and the manual systems are in top condition. Every RV they sell is road tested. It's important. They make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior and the outside, every component turned on, tested. They know that RV front and back, top and bottom. All their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks, and they replace any silicone caulking that's needed. Check them out, sunshinestaterVs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Oh, the RV world is just made for romance and opportunities like Valentine's Day to kind of combine RVing and your sweetie. So I'm taking mine out on the road in our RV for this Valentine's Day. Aren't you thrilled and excited?
I am.
Aren't you?
I am thrilled.
I didn't have your mic on there. You know, it was last year, I think, that we were on the road. Maybe it was the year before, and we tried to get into a couple of restaurants, and they were all too crowded. A
couple of years we've done that. We're slow learners.
And we stopped at a rest area, and you whipped up dinner, and that was a surly Valentine.
And then somebody got upset with me for using paper plates and things. But it was winter time.
It was winter.
I didn't have running water.
Well, I don't know.
So I had to explain that it was winter, and that's why we were using paper plates.
All this reminds us of how important it is to get along with each other, and Valentine's Day can sometimes pose a challenge too, but lots of great memories. And that's what our Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett, have for us this week, is they remember Valentine's Day.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We remember when you guys did a video on how to get along in a Class B motorhome. Lots of bloggers have done them because, after all, it's a challenge to work out the choreography of such a small space. Less often, you see reports of the sweet moments that can only happen when you're squeezed close together. We suspect every traveling couple has experienced them. Since Valentine's Day is tomorrow, we thought we'd tell you about a few of ours.
I recall an early morning on the shore of Swan Lake in Montana. I was sitting in a camp chair watching the sunrise and listening to the loons call across the water, sipping on a hot cup of coffee. I'm an early riser, at home or on the road. Patty is not. Still, it's somehow become her daily task to make coffee in the road trek. On this day, as she often does, she climbed out of bed before I did, fired up the AeroPress, and left me a mugful to start my day. Then she crawled back under the covers until I'd finished making breakfast an hour later. At home, with the pot on a timer, it goes unnoticed. At the campsite, it's a loving kindness that gets the day off to a perfect start.
One evening, we headed out for dinner at a Tex-Mex restaurant near Las Cruces, New Mexico, and were reminded that our friend Google is not infallible. Despite its online listing, the place was shuttered for the night. Heading up the potholed road to the next little town, we found a plaza with a cannon and a bandstand. The area was fairly busy, with pedestrians all heading down the same side street. Driving by, we saw that they were turning into a restaurant, so we parked and followed the crowd. We ended up at La Posta de Mesilla, one of the first Tex-Mex joints. Tropical foliage, colorful murals, and exotic birds made for a delightfully intimate evening despite the crowds, and the food was perfect.
Before our first visit to Big Bend National Park, we read three books about the area. Big Bend, A Homesteader's Story, recounts J.O. Langford's efforts to turn a historic hot spring along the Rio Grande into a health resort in the early 1900s. Lizards on the Mantle, Burrows at the Door, continues the story of this corner of the landscape up to the founding of the national park. Early one morning, we took the short hike to the hot spring, still enclosed by the stone wall J.O. built in 1910 with the help of an itinerant German mason. We spent a glorious half hour by ourselves in the pool, dangling our hands in the Rio Grande and tossing stones across into Mexico before someone else arrived.
Isn't it romantic to share a secret? That's one of the reasons we travel the way we do. The map comes alive as we fill it with characters met and places explored. Once, on our way to Baltimore, we discovered Arthurdale, a Depression-era planned community just beginning to be restored into a National Heritage Site. In the rain, we toured the museum, walked through the wood-floored hall where Mamie Eisenhower danced with the locals, and talked with the lone Vista Corps worker who invited us to settle in for a while and help with sorting documents and identifying artifacts. We thought of Monticello and Faneuil Hall and Deerfield Village and smiled at this chance to be part of the making of a someday national monument.
Some of our favorite moments? Standing in a field in the Smokies, surrounded by synchronous fireflies.
Dangling our toes in the mountain stream, hidden behind a dispersed campsite in Utah.
Dancing at a neighborhood Cayley on Cape Breton.
Watching the sunset over one of the national grasslands with not another soul in sight.
For Valentine's Day, why not recall for yourself or your travel partner some of the most magical moments you've had on your travels? You're sure to have had plenty of them when you spend time out here off the beaten path.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
That was a delightful Valentine's report from the Birkins.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Yep. There are some links to the books that Tom mentioned in there about the Big Bend National Park. A couple of links to that and on the show notes. So you got to go to the show notes to get the links. And then, of course, the video that Jen and I did about how two people can get along in a small little motorhome. That's also linked. And you can find everything we talked about today on our show notes. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/229. Well, so ends another episode of the RV Podcast. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, you can record that voicemail message. Just look on the right-hand side of the rvlifestyle.com blog, and you'll see the phone number. Just call it in. We love to hear you guys, too. We invite you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever your favorite Apple Watch, whatever kind of an app you have, you can find this podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday. Join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. You can learn about that at the RVLifestyle.com blog, too. And don't forget our YouTube channel. Big premiere coming up tomorrow as we give you our most epic factory RV factory tour yet. That'll be 7 p.m. February 14th.
Valentine's Day.
That's our special Valentine's tour. That's coming up on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/RV Lifestyle. All right, we got to finish this podcast, get it all edited, and finish packing up the RV, and we are hitting the road, right, my dear?
Yes, we are, sir.
All right, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We'll see you out there.
And happy trails.